You're about to hear the only advertising program on the BBC. It's suitable for children of all ages except those under 21. So give the family a treat. Switch off now before it's too late, because it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding, Joan Sims, Nicholas Phipps and Warren Mitchell bring you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world. The scene, a public house in Mayfair. The time, opening time.
Oh, what happened then, Michael?
Well, I said to J.S., look here, if you don't... Good gracious, Adrian. Look who's popping up the bar. It's Maggie. Hello, Maggie. How are you?
I've had the most exhausting day.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. How are you feeling now?
Like a large gin and tonic.
Oh. Johnny, a large gin and tonic for Miss Tufnell and Michael.
Bitter, please, Adrian.
And two nice bitters for us, and not too much froth.
That's where the froth is, in the froth.
Cheeky fellow. Pity that nice barmaid left.
Yes, they said it was because of overwork. She went knock-kneed pulling corks out of bottles.
State our firm's in. I'll soon be applying for the job. I'll never know how that man ever got to be a managing director.
Which man?
Mr. Blythe. I had 3 television commercials to edit, but I had to spend all day helping to sort out his office. I've seen nothing like it. His desk looks like an unmade bed.
Well, why should you do it? He's got a personal assistant.
That's right, the Honourable Clarissa.
Oh, don't mention that girl to me. Anyway, she's leaving at the end of the week.
Oh, not again. But Mr. Blythe's had 10 PAs this year already.
Well, it's his own fault for always employing Debs. Most of those pin money girls are quite useless. It's about as much as they can do to use a telephone.
Yeah, some can't even do that. What about Susan? I caught her trying to dial the pencil sharpener.
What a character. Whenever you ask her anything, she says, actually, I don't know what I'm doing today. Yesterday I went on a picnic with my fiancé in the guards and we had hampers of shampers. Any of you ever see that chinless wonder she was engaged to?
Only once, when he collected her from the office on his horse.
Hello, Michael. Sorry I'm late, darling.
Hello, Janet. What do you have?
A vodka and tomato juice and a port and lemon and a packet of crisps.
All in the same glass?
No, the port and lemon and the crisps are for Mavis. I asked her to have a drink with me. She's a bit depressed. Shh.
Did you get that, Charlie?
Coming up.
Hello. Oh, Janet, I didn't know everyone was going to be here. I hope I'm not causing an interference.
Well, none of us have broken out in white spots. Now, here you are, girl. Here's your port and lemon.
Ta.
And your packet of crisps.
Ta again. I don't like to drink unless I've got something to dip in it.
Janet says you're feeling depressed.
Oh, well, it all started last night, or was it yesterday evening? Anyway, I started thinking.
Darling, it was bound to happen eventually. What's wrong?
Well, I'm fed up with sitting in that typing pool. It's a dead end.
Well, we could always buy you a cushion.
Mavis, you always seem so contented in your work.
Oh, I am. I'm as happy as a sandbag. But it's the future, you see. You see, it's the future I'm worried about. I look back and I ask myself, where am I going? If I go on like this, I'm liable to spend the whole life sitting in that typing pool and finish up with nothing behind me.
If you ask me, it'll be just the opposite. Well, let's finish up our drinks. I need a couple more before I can face the wife.
Cheers. This vodka's gorgeous. Makes me so warm and dreamy. Can never understand why the Russians keep saying no.
Oh, pardon.
Mavis, what brought on this attack of introspection?
Well, I think it must have been the port and lemon.
No, I mean, what started you thinking the other night?
Well, I was at home, you see, sticking a patch on my plastic mat, and Dad was in the yard cleaning out his pigeons, and Gran was watching wrestling on the telly, and Mum was rubbing Gran's back with her application, and suddenly I heard a voice inside me saying, Mavis Willis, this is your life. I don't know, it sort of shook me.
Would have shaken Eamon Andrews as well.
Darling, don't stay in the house. Go out, live it up, make like crazy. You know, get with it in an all-night beat club and then go and jump in the fountain at Trafalgar Square.
Well, I don't think that's possible at the Orchard. I mean, all you can do there is have a cup of tea in the transport path and then go for a paddle in the Orchard.
Somehow, Mavis, I don't think you'd find that quite the same.
Oh, well, I must be off. It's murder travelling home in the peak viewing hour. Everyone pushing and shoving like peas in a pod.
I presume you go by green line.
No, Trolley and Chew. Night, all.
Night, Mavis. Oh, dear, it has been a day, and I'm very worried about Mavis.
You remind me of Mrs. Dale.
Michael, this is no time to bring up your old girlfriend. We ought to try and do something for Mavis.
She's got the full disenchantment, that's what she's got. I wish we could help her.
Wait a minute. Mr. Bly's looking for a new personal assistant. Well, what about Mavis? It's more exciting than the typing pool.
We want to help the girl, but it's ridiculous. With the best will in the world, you could hardly mistake Mavis for a character out of Debrett.
Maybe not, but she's not a bad worker. When I was away, she acted as Michael's secretary, you know. You said she was a better typist than me, didn't you, darling?
I merely said that she used both hands.
Yes, but one was a self-defense. Look, I'm sorry to put a damper on things, Maggie, but if a girl is going to be Bly's PA, she's got to have social know-how.
I've thought this over very carefully, and I still say we could groom Mavis into shape.
I like her shape the way it is.
No, Michael, I mean do a sort of My Fair Lady on her, then introduce her to Blythe socially.
But Blythe always meets his PAs at dinner parties, all that sort of jazz.
All right, after we've given Mavis the full treatment, we'll have her invite him to dinner.
Well, quite frankly, I can't see one of our directors dining in Mavis's kitchen, with Gran having her back rubbed with application. Pigeons everywhere. He's a terrible snob.
I've got an even better idea. We'll give a dinner party at my flat and pretend it's Mavis's.
For what possible reason?
Well, if Mr. Bly thinks she's got a flat in town, he won't ask awkward questions about her family. We can pretend they lived abroad.
They practically do, anyway. You know, I'm beginning to think this could work. We could pass Mavis off as a sort of girl about town, like Janet.
I thought we were supposed to be helping her, not ruining her reputation.
Wouldn't Mr. Blythe know it was Janet's flat?
He's never been there.
Must be the only man in the firm who hasn't.
Funny.
I think we could get away with this little scheme. It would give me a great deal of pleasure to put one over on the old snob.
Well, I'll issue the invitation tomorrow morning and ask Mr. Blythe for the night of, well, let's say next Friday week.
Yes, that's fabulous.
Yeah, all right, nodding your heads, but will you help me with Mavis?
Of course, we will. All chip in.
Well, you know me, darling. Anything for a giggle.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Blythe. Miss Tuthnell here. I didn't expect you to answer the phone yourself.
Well, Clarissa's not here. Asked for a little time off yesterday. Said she wanted to buy some Italian shoes. One didn't know she was flying off to Rome to get them.
Well, Mr. Blythe, you know what these Debs are like.
Afraid they are a little work shy, you see. Seems when a girl's just come out, the last thing she wants to do is to get stuck in.
I'm surprised you keep employing them.
Well, one does like to have one's own sort of people about one, don't you know? Anyway, she's leaving at the end of the week. However...
Well, this is purely a social call, Mr. Blythe. The thing of it is, a friend of mine's giving a little dinner party, and she's asked me to bring a friend. I wondered if you'd like to come.
Does one know, huh?
Well, no. That's it, you see. She comes from a very good family. Her daddy's just bought her a flat in town, and I want her to meet the right people. So naturally, I thought of you.
Naturally, Miss Tuthnell. What sort of affair is it? White tie and decoration?
Oh, no. Quite informal. Mr. Lightfoot and his secretary are going to be there. I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, it sounds rather fun. Oh, excuse me.
Have you? Oh, really? Well, if you must.
Sorry to break off, but Clarissa just came in. Those shoes she bought in Rome, you see. Now she wants to fly back to change them. However, Miss Tuthnell, it's extremely good of you to invite one.
Not at all. One is very glad you can come. One will ring you nearer the day so we can arrange everything. Goodbye.
Nice work, Maggie. Sounds as though you fixed it.
Yes, one will be delighted to come.
That's fab. Now, what shall I wear?
More than usual. If possible, something in quiet good taste with long sleeves that buttons right up to the neck.
Well, the only thing I've got like that is a nightdress. Mind you, I have worn it for parties before. You know, when people ring up in the middle of the night and say, come as you are.
Now, look, we've got to be organised. Now, I've drawn up a schedule.
Morning, all. Oh, I'm sorry I'm late, but I've been up all night with my granny's egg. You see, it was the telly what brought it on, you see. She dozed off during emergency ward. Woke up in the middle of wagon train and said, what are all those Indians doing in hospice?
That's easy. Looking for a national health wig. Wow.
If you've quite finished, perhaps we can get down to work.
It's the throat lozenge conference, isn't it?
No, it's the Mavis Willis conference.
Me?
Yes, you said you were fed up being in the typing pool. How would you like to be Mr. Blythe's personal assistant?
Mr. Blythe, the managing director? Oh, but his girls are all la-di-da and drinking tea with little cocked fingers, you know.
Never mind that, Mavis. Do you want the job?
Oh, it would be smashing, but he'd never have me.
Oh, yes, he will. Yes, we think you have all the raw materials. It's up to us to mould them into shape.
Yes, create an entirely new personality.
Here, are you lot on the level? It all sounds a bit larky to me.
Of course we're on the level, but you'll have to cooperate. It means hard work. Now, to begin with, Janet will be giving you a few elocution lessons. Yeah. I think that's the safest thing we can allow her to teach you.
But we all have our various assignments.
Yeah, and on Friday week there'll be a dinner party where we hope to put you across.
Across what, may I ask?
Now come along, Mavis, try again. How now, Brown London County Council cow, browsing in the green, green grass. You see, nice round ow sound.
How now, brown cow, browsing in the...
Now, Mavis, make him up into a circle, like this. Ow.
Oh.
Oh.
Like that.
Ow.
Oh. How now, brown cow, browsing in the green, green grass.
Not quite right. Try again.
Oh, I'm sick of this cow. Couldn't we have a bull instead?
Darling, Mavis, really, you must persevere.
Where do you think Dame Sybil Thorndyke could be if she hadn't persevered? Still in the mousetrap.
Yeah, well, that's better than being stuck in a field with a brown cow.
Well, look, we'll have one last go, and then you're off to Adrian for your talk on current affairs. Now, come along. How now, brown cow?
Look, what about my elevenses? If you ask me, it's past milking time.
Oh, Mavis, please concentrate. Now, where is Cairo?
Is it a place?
Yes, it's a place.
It's not near Barnstable, is it?
Mavis.
Well, it sounds very Welsh.
Mavis, really, I told you yesterday, it's not in this country.
Oh, well, if it's not in England, I can't be expected to know it, can I?
It's in Egypt. And where is Egypt?
Oh, I remember that one. It's the capital of Tibet.
Well, let's try America. Now, who is the president of the United States?
Elvis Presley.
No, he isn't.
Well, he jolly well ought to be. It said in my film magazine that he topped the poll.
Oh, Mavis, don't you remember yesterday we were discussing the summit conference?
Oh, yes. And how they were all up there looking for that Yeti.
Well, Mavis, I think we'd better go right back to the beginning and start again.
Oh, there's no time for that. I've got Miss Tufnell in the canteen lunchtime on etiquette and good taste.
Well, our canteen is the last place to study either of those subjects.
Well, don't be discouraged, Mr. Beals. I found out all about NATO, like you told me.
Have you?
Yes, I saw it on the telly last night. You want to buy a packet this week? They're giving away free dusters.
Let's pretend we're in a very grand restaurant. Mm. The waiter gives you the menu. What do you do?
Tip him.
No, not yet. And we'll presume your escort is paying for the bill. Heaven knows in 9 cases out of 10 he won't, but still. What would you have for the first course?
Now, wait a minute. It's all coming back to me. To commence with, I'd start on grapefruit.
Good.
I'd have half a dozen unless there was an R in the month.
No, Mavis, that's oysters. Well, all right, let's skip the first course and get on to the second. Now, supposing you have steak and salad.
Fruit salad?
No, green salad. Unless you're an American, they have fruit salad with everything. Well, what colour wine would you choose?
Wine? With steak? Well, we always have a nice cup of tea and chips. And my dad often has an egg on top.
Mm.
Now then, Mavis, we come to the social small talk past the items of topical interest. Now then, you've just been introduced to a complete stranger. What do you say?
Pardon me, but is it a lady or gentleman?
Yeah, that's original, but not very polite.
No, I'm asking you, which is it?
Oh, it's a gentleman, we hope.
Well, I'd say, excuse me for asking, but do you reverse?
Why, you're not in a car?
Oh, I thought we were at the Palais.
We're at a cocktail party. Well, look, if you can't think of anything else, you can always discuss books, plays or films.
Oh, yes, now, I often go to the pictures. I went 4 times last week.
Good. Well, who was in the films you saw?
Well, Adam Faith was in the one on Monday, and in the one on Tuesday, and in the one I saw on Thursday, and in the one I saw Saturday as well. Every time quite nice.
Thank you, Dillis Powell.
But I didn't know Adam Faith had made 4 films.
Oh, he hasn't. I saw the same one 4 times. Of course, you see, I knew the end. You see, he was in this cafe.
Yeah. Well, let's try books.
Well, I'm not much of a one for reading books. Mind you, as my mum always says, nothing looks so nice in a bookcase as books, but then she's artistic.
It runs in the family. What about plays?
Yeah, don't you think it's about time this gent who doesn't reverse said something?
Michael, you don't want anything else typed today, do you?
Surprisingly enough, yes.
Well, I'm afraid it'll have to wait until tomorrow. I've got to start getting ready for tonight's dinner party. And this afternoon, I'm giving Mavis a face pack.
Where, for heaven's sake?
On her face, of course.
Well, don't do it in here. I can't have her sitting about looking like a badly iced cake with a fur hat on it.
I've just checked with Mr. Blythe. He won't be arriving before 7:30.
Good. If he comes any earlier, we'll still be chipping away at Mavis.
I must say, Janet, I think it's very generous of you to lend your flat for this dinner party.
Darling, it's the least one can do. And it's very sweet of you to insist on cooking the dinner.
Sweet nothing. It's just my natural instinct for self-preservation.
Well, I'm sure you'll do it very well. After all, you're one of the few people living who knew Mrs. Beaton personally.
Hello, chaps. Everything under control for tonight?
Yeah, I think so, Adrian. Sorry you won't be with us.
Well, it's a bit awkward to get out when you've got a young baby.
Yeah, how's he getting along?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Does little Catherine like him?
Well, she tolerates him, but she's still disappointed that Mummy had him instead of a tricycle. Anyway, I'm babysitting tonight.
Good lad. Giving the wife a break, huh?
Yeah, she's fed up coping with the housework all day, so I'm sending her out.
How thoughtful, Adrian. Where's she going? To the pictures?
No, the laundrette. I understand Friday night's carnival night.
Oh, yes. They all stand around nattering and toast each other with little paper cups full of bleach. Now, Adrian, will you be a good lad and finish off this market research analysis? Only we have to leave early to get Janet's flat ready.
Yeah, anything to oblige. But when you're gorging yourselves tonight and living it up, spare a thought for me. I'll be in my lonely kitchen toying with a kipper under a line of dripping nappies.
Home, sweet home.
Where's the light switch?
Take 2.5 paces forward, turn right at the hat stand, take the second on the left, and when you get to the rubber plant, ask again.
Something tells me you've been here before. I've got it. Well, there's something wrong with this. Perhaps the bulb's gone.
No, it's still there.
The kitchen light won't work either.
Neither will the one in the dining room.
Janet, your fuses must have gone.
I never felt anything.
Where's the fuse? Where's the fuse box?
It's in that cupboard under the stuffed owl with the hat on.
Janet, hold this match while I have a look-see.
All right, darling, but hurry. I'm highly inflammable.
Janet, you can't stand there like the poor man's Statue of Liberty. Is there any paper anywhere? I'll make a spill.
You'll find some old love letters on the hall stand. I always burn them eventually.
Oh, this'll do. It's a postcard.
Anyone I know?
Hold the match over here. Oh, it's from the manager of the electricity board.
How sweet of him to write. Is he having a lovely haul?
Janet, he's cut off your electricity.
What?
But he can't. Not just like that.
Dear sir or madam, he says, and I can't say I blame him, your account of £96.12 is still outstanding.
£96.12?
I must have left on the electric guitar.
But
what about our dinner party? I'll ring up the electricity board and threaten to take my custom elsewhere.
It's after 5:30. They'll all be at home in front of their gas fires. Janet, have you got any candles?
Yes, dozens. We were going to throw a party in a cave once, but we couldn't find one with a piano in it.
Well, it's quite usual to have a dinner by candlelight.
Oh, yes, I always serve dinner in subdued lighting.
She can't bear to see people suffer.
Dinner! I've just remembered. Our stove is electric.
Oh, no, that means we can't cook anything.
Well, perhaps we could cook over the candles.
A souffle over candles would be like a charcoal biscuit.
We could have a barbecue like we do at Kinky Musgrove's. All you need is a few hot coals, a dustbin lid, and someone with very long arms.
Look, I'm sure it's delicious, but no, there's only one thing to do. Adrian's still at the office because he's promised to bring Mavis. We'll ring him up and ask him to call in a delicatessen on the way.
Yeah, or a fish and chip shop. I'll tell him to buy anything that's hot.
I only hope the telephone's not disconnected as well.
Well, they've often threatened to, but the operators protested. They enjoy Janet's conversations too much.
Come on, Janet, how many candles have you got?
Bucks of 60.
Well, get them out and I'll start lighting them.
Do, darling, it'll be good practice for your next birthday. Lamp.
Where did that come from?
I found it just lying around in the road. Some idiot had left it on top of a pile of gravel.
I'll hang it on the stuffed owl.
Oh, that'll be Mavis and Adrian. Let's hope they found some hot food.
Oh, Miss Tufnell, how ripping to see you. Had a frightful journey. Absolute aggers.
He's not here yet, Mavis.
Oh, good. Oh, those blooming stairs. Here, what are all the candles for? Is Liberace coming?
It's nothing to worry about, Mavis. Here, let me take your coat.
Oh, thanks, frightfully tall. Oh, mind, there's a roast chicken in one pocket and two bobs worth of rock salmon in the other.
Hello, chaps. Sorry I'm late. I ran the car into a pile of gravel in the road outside. They might have put a lamp on it.
Oh, never mind. Thank goodness you brought some food. What have you got?
Well, it's rather a hodgepodge, I'm afraid. It was a job to find anywhere open. I hope you'll be able to make something out of it.
I don't know what one could make out of this tin of antifreeze. Cold consomme, perhaps?
It isn't antifreeze, it's soup. I got a gallon from a restaurant. It was the only thing I had in the car to put it in.
Well, I hope you washed it out first. We don't want Mr. Blythe to start knocking in his upper cylinder.
Oh, that'll be Mr. Blythe. Michael, you and Janet entertain him. Adrian and I will go into the kitchen and sort out the food. Come on, Adrian.
Righto. Good luck, Mavis.
Oh, thanks frightfully, old fruit.
I'll let him in. Oh, good evening, Mr. Blythe. Let me take your coat, sir.
Thank you, Lightfoot. Thank you. Hope I'm not late. Had a bit of trouble parking, you see. Ran into a pile of gravel in the road outside.
Mr. Blythe, I don't think you know my secretary, Janet Harris.
How do you do?
And our charming hostess, Mavis Willis.
Oh, Mr. Blythe, I'm so awfully frightfully glad you could come. It's absolute nippers outside, isn't it? Would you care for a liquid drink?
That would be delightful.
Then let's take ourselves off into the dining room.
Splendid.
Killing. Here, where is the dining room?
Through here.
Oh, yes, of course. Follow me. Whoops.
Delightful place you have here, Miss Willis. From what I can see of it, which isn't much, most unusual lighting.
Yes, quite quaint, ain't it?
You see, Mavis has used the candlelight because of her family home. They don't have electricity at the castle.
No, and not at the elephant, neither.
Shall I serve the sherry, Mavis?
Oh, well, if it isn't too much of a ghastly bother.
This place is just Mavis's pied-à-terre.
Her parents live out of town during the hunting season, don't they, Mavis?
Oh, yes, actually. At this moment, Daddy is at his country place doing a bit of salmon shooting.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, in that stretch of the river, there's a lot of flying fish. Your sherry, sir.
Thank you. Excellent sherry, this. Excellent, Miss Willis. I presume you have it shipped.
Oh, absolutely not. A young chappie brings it round on his push bag.
All the Willises have got such a crazy sense of humour. They're the life and soul of every hunt ball.
I'm sure they must be. Tell me, does your father still ride to hounds?
Oh, no, he takes a taxi.
Oh, I say, Mavis, you are in spanking form tonight, really.
He doesn't really take a taxi, does he?
Oh, no. No, he goes with his chauffeur in the Rolls.
But dash it, he'd lose the scent in a Rolls.
Oh, my daddy never wears scent. Just a little aftershave lotion before meals.
No, I mean the fox.
He doesn't wear fox either. But Mumsy does. Wouldn't be seen dead without it.
I think I'd better see how Maggie's getting on in the kitchen.
Oh, yes. I was wondering where Miss Tuffin was.
Was she giving a hand to the man from the caterer?
Yes, do, Janet.
What do you think of the international situation, Mr. Blaine? I hear there's been more rioting in Barnstable. And they say the new president is a yeti.
Maggie, how are you managing to cope in the dark?
We lack your experience. But anyway, Adrian's just fishing the chips out of the soup. It's the only way to keep them warm.
Lucky old Viv is freezing in the dining room. You ready to dish up?
Yes, I'll just put the plates through the serving hatch.
Maggie, that was the back window.
But I must say, been the most charming evening, Miss Willis, don't you know? Fancy your father being the head of British Railways.
Well, he only does it in the evenings. You see, during the day, he's the canteen manager at the House of Lords.
Oh, by the way, Miss Tuffnell, I hope to reach some decision about my new personal assistant tomorrow.
Oh, really, Mr. Blythe? Is it anyone we know?
Well, it might be. Someone I've met recently. I think you'll all get quite a pleasant surprise, you know. Well, good night, Miss Willis. I hope we meet again.
Oh, one never knows. Perhaps during Ascot Week, when we're racing our Yeti at Cowes.
Morning, everybody. How did it all go last night after I left?
Well, I think Mavis came out of it very well, considering. Of course, it was a pity she washed out her napkin in the finger bowl, but you can't have everything.
I don't think Mr. Blythe noticed. He was far too busy chewing away at that rubber plant.
He probably spent the night hiccuping elastic bands.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Mr. Blythe.
I won't keep you long. Just came to tell you about my new personal assistant. I'm fed up with all those Debs. So I've decided to make a complete change.
Oh, have you chosen someone?
Yes, and I brought him down to meet you.
Him? You mean he's a man?
Well, I should hope so. He's an ex-guards officer. Now, I'd like you all to meet my new personal assistant, Humphrey Wentworth Ping. Humphrey, come in and meet everybody.
Coming. Hello, chaps. Absolutely ripping morning and all that rot.
How do you do?
Charm.
Enchanted.
Wow.
Well, I'm sure you'll all get on splendidly.
I ask you, Humphrey Wentworth Ping.
After all the trouble we took in grooming Mavis, it's heartbreaking.
Well, she'll never be happy in the typing pool now.
Ah, poor Mavis.
We must try and change her back the way she was.
Hello, chaps. Absolutely ripping morning and all that sort of rot.
Mavis, dear, we've got terrible news for you.
Yes. How would you like to be exactly as you were before we started grooming you?
I beg your pardon. Oh, what a flipping relief.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, and Adrian by Nicholas Phipps. Mr. Blythe was sketched in by Warren Mitchell. The script was stolen from Bernard Shaw by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, who say they thought of the idea first. And the show was produced by Eric High Society Miller. Next week, an impoverished peer will be telling us what to do when your coat of arms gets frayed at the cuffs.